Anyone can be ready for back to school, but with Staples Connect, you can be more than ready. Like, I got everything this teacher put on this list ready and saved a ton ready. They've got more backpacks, more pens, and more supplies than you ever thought possible. So go ahead and strap up them Velcros and gas up that Honda Fit and smear war finger paint on your face. Staples has everything you need and more for the new school year. Let's do this. Just visit your nearest Staples store or go to staplesconnect.com for inspiration. It's just me and you. I feel so lost. Cause I don't know what to do.
Sing, Jay.
Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do?
You better, I didn't even know you knew these words.
I'm please. So afraid.
Sing.
Afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you.
Come on.
And ask you for your guidance. Especially today, when my world is so cloudy, guide me until I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I'll open up my heart.
Sing! Sing.
You know why I had to sing that for you? Because I was on FaceTime with Nikki and Dustin.
Oh,
and I don't know what was said, but this song came to mind and I started singing it. And Nikki was like, wait a minute, bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Why do you know the words to this?
When did you learn Yolanda Adams open my heart?
I actually didn't realize I knew all the words until I started singing it. I was like, damn, I know like there's like three songs that I can really get jiggy with.
So, you know, that was probably during the era when Yolanda Adams videos was running on like Planet Soul on BET.
Oh, absolutely.
And I remember
all
this
those
makes
teeth.
Me think of my, yes. This, I, you just, me and my friends in college, I can't remember which one said it, but one of my friends was, because, you know, Yolanda Adams had many teeth back then, oh, right?
A mouthful of rulers,
I
honey.
I mean, it was just, it was a Coachella in her mouth every time. Just people on top of people, on top of people, on top of people.
Making all, the world go round.
Listen, and there was one particular tooth on the bottom row that stood taller than the rest.
Yes,
and you know,
did.
My friend, I can't think of which one, they used to call it an adjunct tooth. This tooth was not on the faculty. It was an adjunct tooth. I can't remember which one of my absolutely ridiculous
friends said that, but
that rings in my spirit every time I hear that Ooh. Open My Heart video, because I can visualize her in those faux locks and all of her, you know, neo-soul extra.
Yes.
Unnecessary fabrics, yes. You know, because they love to swaddle clothes. You know, swaddling clothes was big in that era. And the earth tones, you know, they had her looking like a gospel India Ari.
Know me.
If you please. And she just had that adjunct tooth. Just standing tall in her mouth for Jesus.
Adjunct tooth.
That tooth was standing tall for Jesus. And it just like, whew, that was a good
literally,
blast from the past.
Literally
Shout
standing
out
tall for Jesus.
To my friends. To my friends from undergrad. My Manhattan
Shout
College
friends. Friend.
Shout out to all of you, wherever you are. What a wonderful time we had there. So good. Adjunct tooth. It was an adjunct tooth. And I can't think for the life of me who said it, but I know the group of friends, and we share these memories.
Oh, my God.
What a wonderful time to be alive.
Oh,
but praise the
God.
Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
Welcome back to the ride, the ghettos, where Jade and I discuss the ghettos of the worst hood we've ever endeavored to live in, and that would be adulthood. We're back again around the kitchen table to discuss the tests, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes of being a real life adult in the year
and
of our Lord.
And the turds.
Oh, and the turds, yes. Of being a real life adult in the year of our Lord, 2021.
How are you?
I am present. I am safe and I have what I need. And everything else is going to work itself out.
That's it. That's all you can do.
How are you? Yes, same. I know that today was Noah's first day of school.
Yes. Today was Noah's first day of school.
Now, what grade are we in now?
So, you know, Noah is in a special school where there are no grades.
Oh, this is so Brooklyn.
Groups. I love it.
It's very Brooklyn. I'm here for it.
It is.
Please expound. It's very Brooklyn. It's, you know, Brooklyn has its own sort of set of norms about these things. Please.
It is.
So she has age groups.
It's age groups. It's a social justice school. I don't know if I've told you that before.
I remember. It's come up.
So it is a social justice school, but they go by age groups as opposed to grades. So she has moved up. Mm-hmm. This is her first year in the new group because she was in the 5 to 7 for the past few years. And now she's in the 8 to 10. So, which they call the upper lower school or something. No, excuse me. Lower, something like that.
It's okay.
So I'm such an involved mother. So, but she's moved up, you know, we had to do a little meeting for her to move up, and they don't do report card. Like they don't do testing and report cards. They do narrative reports. So they let you know, you know, quarterly how your kid is doing academically, socially, you know, how they're adjusting with their peers, you know, how they are with their social justice, you know, how that comes up. So it's really a very beautiful setting, you know, that I understand the privilege and the oddity of. And so
privilege and oddity.
You know, so I do try to talk to her, but I'm like, listen, I don't know if you're going to be in these kind of schools forever. I'm going to try and keep you in these kind of schools forever, my nigga, but I don't know if if we're going to be able to do it forever. So I just need you to understand that things move different. Like, they move different other places.
Yes.
But I also, you know, you got to do what works for your kid. You got to understand
for
your
sure.
kid's spirit. And you got to do what works for them. And I recognize that she is not a sit up in a class of 30 kids look at a chalkboard type of kid. You know what I'm saying? Like she needs to have a little bit of like movement and freedom in what she's doing. And it's a fight, you know, if she doesn't have that movement and that freedom. So
this is dope. I love to hear it. This is good. This is resonating with me now. I'm actually doing this week I am reading proposals. I'm on a panel review for NSF for the National Science Foundation. We're reading proposals to determine like who's going to get this research funding. So I just read a proposal earlier today.
Important. It's so important.
No, I mean, you know, these are like one of the important like service aspects of my job. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because it allows me to sort of take what I've learned and sort of, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to frame it, but it's important that people who have the perspectives that we have be in certain seats, right? So, because we are positioned to sort of advocate
for
things that need to be, you know, advanced and promoted. And we are positioned to speak out against things that need to be sort of eradicated from educational practice and in the landscape. So like, you know, this funding will fund research around issues of racial equity. And I read this important proposal today about culturally responsive teaching and how important it is, you know, for a pedagogical practice. So literally the practice of teachers, how teachers teach their, how they go about curriculum design and presenting content. It's important that that be culturally responsive, especially when you're teaching children of color.
Yes. Yes.
Or other, you know, marginalized identities.
Yeah.
And so I love this concept of a social justice school. Because, you know, it really speaks against sort of these sort of conventional ways that we've been taught to think about, you know, the history
education
and the world, you know, that has historically excluded the perspectives of Black and Brown people. So
I love it because they have a democratic meeting every Friday in which the kids can speak up and talk about how they feel at the school, what they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So they consult, they consider all of that and what they form their curriculum around. So they're able to vote on what they want to learn. They talk about social issues. Obviously, you know, you've got the obvious. They change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
That's what they call it. That's what it is. A Valentine's Community Love Day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They have this they have this program that Noah was a part of. Oh, I forgot what it was called, but it was so cute. Litter League, where they went out and cleaned up the parks.
I love it.
Around the city.
It's
you know,
so
and
awesome
they do.
That even at this really young age, like you're raising a little critical thinker. That's so key.
I'm grateful for these spaces, you know what I'm saying? Because that's not everywhere. And I know everybody doesn't have access to that type of space for, you know, for their child or what have you, because depending upon what kind of area you live in or whatever, it's resources. But I'm so grateful for it. They have Black Girl Affinity Group where they get the Black girls of those age groups together and with the Black teachers, and they talk about their feelings, and they have LGBTQ affinity group, and they've, you know, they really support their trans students, and they really support social justice issues around Black people, and they apply it in how they move within the school. Yeah, it's not just talk. And so I really am grateful for that type of environment. And I wish that we had more of that within Black communities. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, her school is very mixed. Y'all know that's going to come with, you know, there's a trade-off. Mm-hmm.
Especially in a place like ever-gentrifying Brooklyn.
Ever-gentrifying Brooklyn. Deeply Absolutely. Gentrified Brooklyn.
Deeply.
Which, you know, I don't have a problem with her being able to socialize with people of all kinds. I need you to understand how to do that, because when you go out in this world, there's things that I'm going to teach you at home that you need to understand.
Right.
But I also do wish that we had more of this with Black people, and like we were able to form these type of educational programs and institutions for our communities.
Both of those desires can and should coexist, right? Yeah. So you don't have, it shouldn't have to be a trade-off. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our children ought to be, you know, emotionally intelligent and socially aware and socially responsible. They should be critical thinkers. But it's also important that they understand the importance of sort of like, you know, galvanizing as Black people. And it's also important that we understand these things within the sociopolitical context of this nation. So what I love about the social justice framework of the school, so it's not about like, it can't just stop at diversity. It's not about just having people from diverse groups and having diverse perspectives, but we need to situate that within the context that that is not something that this nation has encouraged or prioritized. Mm-hmm. And we have to acknowledge the history that this kind of approach stands on, right? Yeah. And be critical of that history. That's the only way that's gonna really, really move us forward. So
absolutely.
I'm excited that my niece is being, you know, educated in this new age school.
Me too, sis. And you know, pray for me, because you know, like, I sometimes be falling back into the grandpa generation where I'd be like, what the fuck? But then
it's hard.
The advancement as well.
No, it keeps us all on our toes, right? Because we have to be careful. That comfort,
exactly,
that level of comfort is a place, you know, that's how I explain it to the people that I work with. Like, we're not growing or learning if we're not being challenged.
Exactly.
And so I am learning, even wrapping my own mind around being okay with being pushed.
Yeah.
Because there are ways in which my worldviews are challenged every day, and I have to learn new language and be challenged and critiqued and understand the areas of growth that I have in my own space. So I think it's important that you're doing that and modeling that for Noah, and that she knows that it's okay, you know, that you're not going to get it right every time. You know, we're going to say some problematic things.
Yeah, I apologize.
And we're going to have to be corrected.
I do all kinds of things. I'm quick
for
to
sure.
apologize to her real fast, but I am grateful. I'm really, really grateful. She's going to be better than me. And that's what we're supposed to do when we have kids. They're supposed to be better than us.
We love to see it. All right. So you're good. Noah's good. Everyone's
good. You're good.
I'm good.
You're good. How was your week? Did we talk about your week?
My week was, you know, we're working and we're fully back into the swing of things, you know, whatever. I mean, shout out to everyone who actually had a real break, a real vacation.
I aspire to be like you one day.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it. Hopefully soon in the next couple of weeks or so, I can really get some time to just reset. I think I could really use that.
You deserve that.
But you know, we're back in the full swing of marathon meetings at work and my to-do list. You see, I'm out here with like two notebooks. I usually just have one notebook.
Yo,
now
Kia
I got
has
like
a notebook
two
in every corner of the house.
I love notebooks. You know, sometimes I just have a thought. I need to write it down. I got notebooks. See, I got like post-its.
That's
on my computer.
That's me with baskets. I have baskets everywhere.
It's outrageous. But yes, we're back in the swing. I got lots to do, trying to manage all of these things and keep some sense of peace and rest in my life. But
and boundary, because boundaries.
Yeah, let's my doorbell is ringing and we will move on to the trash.
Okay, let's move on to the trash. I'm going to be real honest with you all. We're going to keep the trash super brief this week because Kia nor I have had time to catch up with the social medias. And we don't know what's going on in the world. So I've only seen a couple of things, you know, so we'll just do our 1-2 hot takes on it and keep on moseying. Plus, everything else that I look up, I told Kia, I was like, all I see is COVID, COVID, COVID. White man accosts black people. White man calls white man nigger. You know, it's Tuesday. So, like, I'm dead ass. Oh, that's what it'd be like. So I'm like, all right, well, you know what? We're just going to do a couple of things. And one of them, first and foremost, is, so there is this reality show, competition series, television show that is supposed to be coming up called The Activist.
Oh, what a terrible idea.
Listen to them honking for this bullshit.
I mean,
and
it's like the American Idol of activism.
Of activism. Yeah.
Awful.
Usher is set to co-host it.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Usher.
And it's supposed to, so he's supposed to join Priyanka Chopra and Julianne Hough. For the philanthropy.
What?
A focus series, according to The Root. Yes. So,
I mean,
as my wonderful
this?
Baby love, Mariam Hosna, said, there is already a competition show about activism, and it's called Social Media.
Wow.
So, like, I mean, niggas don't like to hear it, but bleep, bleep, bleep.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not to negate niggas who are actually doing work, but then there's a lot of you all out there who just be huffing and puffing Yowzers. And pretending to blow niggas' houses down. So, Kia's face. Sorry. But, yeah, I don't think we need this. I think this is completely unnecessary. And what the fuck? What do you feel about it?
I just feel like the way that America commercializes everything,
yeah,
is exhausting. Because I'm
it's cheesy.
It's like mm-mm. We don't have to reality TV everything.
No, we don't. We
and
really
all
don't.
Of the resources that are being invested in the production of this show could be invested in the actual issues.
Yeah.
It just feels like an exercise in futility. And this is, you know, when we talk about like cheap change, remember like the piece that I did for Essence, I would talk about, you know, there's a difference in, you know, the time, the context, everything that's happening right now, what's trendy, what's popping, sort of forces people to feel like, you know, because race relations and inequality and injustice is the wave right now. People want to ride it. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to find ways to ride the wave when they're looking for ways to kind of throw money at stuff. And
just
build upon the momentum of the conversation. And it's just like, I don't know.
Sure, throw your white guilt dollars at stuff. I'm not mad at that. Throw it at stuff, but throw it at stuff that matters. Don't create like bullshit, fluff bullshit.
And it's so hasty, and it's not thoughtful. It's not attached to anything meaningful or significant. And I feel like it's an insult to the people who are on the ground and actually doing
and been doing
this grassroots work.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
It's annoying.
It's annoying. It's corny.
I'm annoyed by how much attention this absurd show has even gotten. It's a distraction from everything that we should be talking about.
As everything is a distraction. That's what the whole trash is all about. Speaking of more distractions, neither one of us watched the VMAs, looked at footage from the VMAs, saw posts from the VMAs.
I hadn't even seen the tweets. Like, I wasn't even in the Twitter streets at the time. I usually, you know, can be found sort of.
We've both had a lot going on.
So much.
But what I did see in my intentional looking of trash was there was a performance with Teyana Taylor and Normani, the girl who continues to pop up, and yet I am still trying to figure out who she is,
where she came from. My grandma told me that she was on a season of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, now that is something that they would know, because my mother will also call me and say, I need you to call this number and vote for. And I'm like, Ma, I'm not doing that. I got stuff to do right now.
I'm not voting for this person. No. And I be telling her all the time, about? I feel like I should at least watch the dance to know if I want to vote in this person's favor.
I also tell them, like, you know, you please understand, Mother, that your votes do not matter. They don't matter. These people are gonna pick who they want to pick. This is a production. This shit is set. They know what is what, okay? And so it don't matter, Ma. It don't matter if we call this number and press this shit, and if we call it from 25 different phones. It don't matter. And she just tells me that I'm pessimistic and nasty. But anyway. So Normani apparently had a performance on the VMAs, and Teyana Taylor was a guest in the very last portion of it, in which what I saw was her strapped to this, I guess, was that a cross? It was some kind of, it was a crucifix-esque, because her hands were strapped to the shit, the Velcro or whatever, and then Normani, but it was like on a ladder situation, and Normani climbed up the little ladder situation, and then it was a, you know, sexually promiscuous dance or whatever, you know what I'm saying, in which it simulated a humping, a bumping, a grinding, and then she flipped backwards, and it was Cirque du Soleil. So, you know, niggas was like, if you had a problem with Lil Nas X, you need to have a problem with this.
Fair.
And I fully agree. Yes, absolutely.
I think it's a fair point.
Absolutely. If y'all were out here hooping and hollering about Lil Nas X and what he was doing and how he continues to mind his business and upset you niggas, then you better have a problem with this. But see, the reason why you all don't have a problem with this is because you all, women have been fetishized all over pornographic sites for men's pleasure and so forth and so on. And so y'all want to have a problem with the shit that you don't want to see, but you don't have a problem with the shit that you do want to see. That is hypocritical.
The standards are doubling.
Let me tell you something.
The standards are doubling.
Okay.
And I'm not talking doubles about Germany.
With extra tamarind sauce. So, I agree. If you had a problem with Lil Nas X, you better have a motherfucking problem with this. Or what you could do is sit back and mind your business.
Because, listen, let me tell you, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nobody ever missed heaven minding their business.
No.
You'll make it in.
No.
No. You'll make it into heaven minding your business. Nobody never miss heaven minding their business.
Right. You know, but the Bootsy Coalition, it just, the Bootsy Brigade just always feels like they have to, you know, spew their nasty ass opinions all over the place that are based in nothing. So that was just that. I don't care about the performance, nor did I care about Lil Nas X's. I want these young people to do whatever it is that makes them happy. Chloe Bailey had a performance. She had her first solo joint that came out.
Very nice.
And she was giving very like Beyonce vibes. Mm-hmm. I saw that when I was, you know, looking for the shit.
Go ahead, Chloe.
And it was like, okay, yes, bust it out. Show that you are a grown woman. You can do whatever you want.
That's it.
And I love to see it. And what I've just realized is like, none of this shit is for me. And so.
And you know, that's really the bottom line. And if, I mean, people ask, you know, I mean, if anyone, you know, if, at the end of the day, I still got to work. I go to work tomorrow. Yeah. And I still, like, nothing about this will change. Mm-hmm. Nothing about my life will change, regardless of who is humping who on what stage.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't. It's not my business. It's not of any interest to me.
Not a single thing.
And I wish everybody the best.
I love watching these young people do their things, and I continue to support it. But it is just not for me to consume, because simply because I just don't care.
I don't. And I mean that with all the love.
You know, there's some stuff that's cute.
In my heart. I just don't.
Teyana Taylor and Doja Cat had a dance off. That was cute, you know, because you don't see niggas dancing at parties anymore.
Every now and then I have to say, well, I mean, who is Doja Cat? I have to ask that question all the time.
Who? I know who Doja Cat is now because she's on Race Chat showing feet. I'm perpetuating rumors that are not really.
Out here.
Strictly from Nori's tweet. I heard she was showing feet in racist chats, which is still one of the funniest things to ever exist on the internet. But Doja Cat actually is quite entertaining, and she's just unique. And you know, people tried to say she was trying to be Nicki Minaj. I don't agree with that. You know, every once in a while she makes a little bop where I'm like, oh, I've heard that song, yes. And you know, Noah loves it. And you know, I think she's funny. I've seen a couple of like little videos from her, and I'm like, yo, she's a fucking nut. And I love a fool. You know, and I don't think she was showing feet in racist chats. So I do know who Doja Cat is, but Normani is still out on the table.
Well, somebody let us know.
Us know, because she has the greatest video of all time, apparently, or something.
Okay.
Anyway, there's also this thing apparently going around on the internet in which everybody is saying what they would ask Jay-Z for at dinner. I don't know why, but something about a $500,000 conversation. So I just wanted to ask you, I asked XD, what if you could ask Jay-Z one question at dinner, if you were invited to, oh no, let me see. Yeah. Wait, is that how it goes? Whatever. If you could ask Jay-Z
say?
His question would be, first he would ask for $500,000. And then I was like, well, let's just say like money is already on the table here. That's why y'all even at dinner.
So I could ask him, like he would be like funding something for me?
Yeah, already. That's already on the table, because that's boring. Okay. Everybody would ask Jay-Z for money. What would you ask him? You already know what XD asked. I'm going to tell you after.
Do I already know what XD said?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm gonna let you answer first.
Okay. So this because this is at the front of my mind. I mean, I would love, but since we're talking money, that kind of changed the game. Because you know, I was getting ready to ask something ignorant, but
no, you. Let's just say he's already giving you money. That's why you all are sitting at dinner. Okay. What personal thing would you ask Sean Corey Carter?
What personal thing would I ask him? What personal thing?
It could be anything.
I feel unprepared. What would I ask him? I have a professional pitch that I would ask him, but I think personally, I would really ask him.
Explicitly.
People don't read.
To avoid this. They don't. They don't, and it infuriates me. Okay. You would ask him. Go.
The first thing that comes to mind was like a Kanye question. I would want to know, I know that they're back. Are they really back? Are they really like cool again? Did they reconcile for professional purposes? And based upon his response to that, I would ask him had they had any comments, because they clearly have different views politically and ideologically about the state of the world and all of that right now. So how do they negotiate those differences? And is the nature of their relationship such that he could hold him accountable? it would be around that. Professionally though, I know that the Carters with Tiffany and Co. They recently just made a very large donation to scholarship funds for 5 HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I feel like, and I talked about this on Twitter, I think that I'll never be the person that says that we shouldn't invest in HBCU students. But I definitely feel like if we're really going to get to, real equity and real parity between HBCUs and, other institutions in the higher education landscape, we also have to invest in institutions themselves, right? Yeah. So, a lot of people have, it seems like, and I don't want to, presume, I don't know what the Carter's inspiration or motivation behind this was. And I do feel like this money will be, money well spent if it supports Black people who are being educated at these fine institutions. But if it seems like in Black communities or even outside in the world generally, people think that the only way to help Black people in Black communities is to invest in students. And we need to also invest in infrastructure. So I would love to be a part of some sort of advisory council or a task force that could help them think about how they want to, because I think that there are ways that they could, be more intentionally strategic about the ways that they invest in higher education that will have a more long-term impact on Black people and Black communities. That would be my pitch. The Carters need to hire me to put together an advisory council. We need to be out here thinking more strategically about how we use this money.
Do you see why we need the kids in this world? Do you all see why we need kids in this world?
I'm not saying that investing in students is bad. I don't want y'all to hear me and feel like I'm hating or being ungrateful. I just feel like we have to be strategic. The work can't stop there because of some of the other institutional issues, fundamentally infrastructure, like the political landscape, what it means for these public HBCUs, what it means for them to get these kinds of private investments and for them to be earmarked for students alone, sort of changes things politically for these institutions. And if we really want to set the stage in a way that we are addressing some of the systemic issues that are the reason for the gaps in performance between HBCUs and other institutions, we have to also invest in the organizations themselves. And, this is the kind of stuff that we don't talk about enough. And I wish that wealthy people who want to invest in education for Black people would ask people who study education how best to invest their monies before they start writing checks. And that goes for Jeff Bezos' wife and everybody else. And I'm not saying, I just feel like we have to really be thoughtful about how we invest and use these investments and what kind of returns we can expect from them. But that would be my pitch for
for Sean Corey Carter.
That's why we need Kias in this world. That's why we need Kias, because XD's ass got up there and said, Solange really beat your ass, huh?
And you see, I'm just a nerd over here being extra deep.
Please, no, what do you mean? Like, that's the shit that we need in this world. Not our foolishness.
I'm talking about how we can really secure the bag for generations.
That's how it should be.
But XD's question is valid and very also, important.
We also need
we that. Need to know.
Release the audio.
Release so. It. But no, seriously speaking, I mean, that's what I would ask, man.
I love
and I
that.
Just would love that if they would just let me do that. Let me do that for you.
Yeah, no, I second that. And I, because I don't have a question, not after what Kia said, absolutely not. I do not.
So I just I'm make like, everything so deep. I'm sorry. But we have like, to really talk about these things.
No, though. These are things that we need. This is what getting grown is all about. This is what it's about. I'm going to come through and be like, did y'all eat? Like, you know, what can does, I make something to eat?
So who does Beyonce really cook dinner? She be in the house making like, does she really cook? I just feel like Beyonce really can cook, though. Because you grew up in Houston. I feel like she has got to be making red beans
she
and rice.
She has to.
Somewhere
she's got to be making something.
Something,
maybe an etouffee or like.
Or I just feel like she can fry the hell out of some chicken or something.
Maybe you know, throw a quick catfish and spaghetti.
You know,
on. You know, Blue does like to eat spaghetti, but something tells me Beyonce does not cook.
I mean, I mean, she don't have to.
No, she doesn't.
I just wonder if she might enjoy. You know?
Jade went through that, so hopefully Beyonce don't have to go through that. Like Beyonce period. Doesn't have to. She doesn't have to cook. She can hire me.
She can. And she can hire me as well. This is what I'm saying. I'm willing to work for the Carters. Period.
This is what I'm saying. And together, Blue and Noah could change
magic.
The world.
Period.
Can you imagine if they ran for political office?
That's please. A ticket I could get behind, baby.
Let me tell you something. We've never had more politicians who just were more qualified for the position. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can get into some politics now. If two of you get into it and you can change this world. But that's it for the trash. We're going to leave it right there and we're going to move on to some shout outs.
My sister's popping right now.
Oh, it's time for some shout outs. And we have two of them actually this week because we can. It's our business and we can do
and we
what
can
we
if
want.
We want to because that's our business.
And so the very first one, you all know, friend to the show, sister to the show, one of our very favorites ever, Nikki of Zen in a Jar. Well, by
what
the
up,
way,
Nikki?
Shameless plug, you all can get the remainders of the Summer Jade, of all Jason Zen in a Jar collaboration soap on the Zen in a Jar website listed in the description box.
Go ahead.
But sorry, shameless plug. You know I don't do it often. But Nikki writes in because she gave us a very dope shout out that we are very excited to read.
Very excited.
And I'm just cleaning my glasses, which is why I've been wasting time, killing time here so I could read this clearly. She says, I want to submit a shout out to my sis for Rabia Kamara of Ruby Scoops Ice Cream and Treats in Richmond, Virginia. She's a dear friend and entrepreneur. She has the Black woman-owned ice cream shop in Richmond. I am super proud of her. This past Monday, she won the Clash of the Cones on Food Network. This reality competition wars from Ben and Jerry's, and she won the whole goddamn thing.
Yes.
Her winning flavor was Bia's Black Joy, an ode to Maryland and the many complexions of Black people and some other super deep shit. How amazing is it that a Black woman entered that space and kicked ass? I had to submit this and celebrate her. So Nikki sends a couple of different links. We have a Food Network link for Clash of the Cones, and then her where she won on the Food Network, and then also an article. So we're going to post all of that in the description box, as well as her direct link to Ruby Scoops,
damn,
located in Richmond, Virginia. If you are anywhere near the Richmond, Virginia area, area, if you're doing a drive-through, if you're doing a road trip, if you live near there, if you feel like getting out for a day and doing a mini road trip, go support Ruby Scoops in Richmond, Virginia. I know the next time we go down to the D.C. area, we're going to go an extra couple of hours out of our way to make sure that we support. So we'll have all that information in the description box. I thought that was just very dope. Thank you, Nikki, so much. Congratulations, Rabia.
I love it.
And so all of that, make sure you all look out for. I actually want some ice cream right now just because of that. And also make sure you always check out Zen in a Jar. I mean, we have to. Nikki wrote in.
For sure.
The second shout out, I saw this email come in. And it warmed my heart, especially, you know, what with some heavy things going on right now. And I thought this would warm Kia's heart, too. So this is from Deborah McCray. And she writes, "Hey, ladies, peace and blessings. I am a proud 61-year young child of this world.
Yes.
Since I've been listening to the podcast, I've told my daughters to listen, the valuable lessons that I wish I had, but to enlighten me on how best to communicate with them. My daughters, a huge thanks and appreciation for mom. I love the self-care part of the show too. Peace and blessings, my loves." And so I just thought, Miss Deborah, we got a 61-year young listener in the building. And I just wanted to shout out Miss Deborah. I thought that was really beautiful. And I love that we're able to, you know, I love that we can relate as Black women from many generations. You know, and Kia and I have had some other conversations that we've not put on the show about personal life, just about, you know, and dealing with grandparents and differences of generations and thinking and so forth and so on. And so it's really beautiful to hear our community expand in that way. I just thought that was really dope. So I just want to shout out Miss Deborah.
I love it. Thank you, Miss Deborah, for listening. And shout out to Miss Deborah's daughters.
Okay, shout out to you daughters. If they tuned in, they might have been like, "Ma, I don't want to listen to that. I don't do not.
We don't hear these old women."
Because my mother might come and give me a podcast, and I'd be like, "Girl, I'm not listening to that.
I'm not listening to nothing that you like. Are you crazy?"
But if Miss Deborah's daughters tune in, shout out to you all. Shout out to you anyway. Let's get into our kitchen table talk.
Ole do it.
HBCUs are more. More than a band, more than a football team, more than Greek life, more than an education. Historically, Black colleges and universities are a place to become, a legacy with a heritage of more than 180 years of producing some of the nation's top scholars, politicians, athletes, entertainers, and individuals. Xfinity understands and celebrates all of this with the collection of TV shows, movies, documentaries, and music that capture the Black college experience. Just say HBCU into your Xfinity voice remote. Learn about the sacrifices students made during the Civil Rights Movement. Be inspired by biographies on educators who went above and beyond. Kick back to the sounds of the band or the sounds of the yard with an HBCU playlist. Best of all, it's all included with your Xfinity service. From the yard to the end zone, the classroom to the frat house, Xfinity has the HBCU experience covered. Xfinity is the ultimate in Black storytelling. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires Xfinity TV and on-demand. Separate charges apply to on-demand and certain streaming services.
Pineapple Street Studios' acclaimed series, Back Issue, is back with Season 2, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Hosted by Tracy Clayton, who you know as the host of Another Round and Strong Black Lead, and by Pineapple Street Studios' senior producer, Josh Gwynn, each episode revisits unforgettable moments in pop culture that we all think we remember. Together, Josh and Tracy unravel what these moments can teach us and how they stood the test of time, or not. Join in as Josh and Tracy battle over whose hometown invented the high five, reflect on the legacy of the one and only Whitney Houston, reminisce about the internet we first fell in love with, and share some behind-the-scenes stories from the music videos that you loved. Pop culture is political, but it's also fun. Remember? Fun? Back Issue is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. You can also follow them on Instagram at Back Issue Podcast. All right. So it is time for us to gather around the kitchen table. Today, we're going to celebrate
the people in our lives who have made a significant contribution to who we are.
Yes.
This week on September 15th, it is National Thank You Day. And that day is set aside on the calendar to encourage people to thank the other people in their lives. It says here that the day is set aside to thank the people who you're connected to.
I love that.
How have these people impacted your life? A time to sit and just sort of appreciate your tribe, the people who invest in you, support you, contribute to who you are, your well-being mm-hmm. on a daily basis. So I thought that that would make for a good conversation and just some good reflection for us to just stop really quickly and think about who it is that we are connected to and why we're grateful for how they contribute to our day-to-day lives. So I'll kick it to you first. Is who comes to mind? Who would you like to acknowledge and thank first and foremost?
Oh, several people have come to mind. But I'm going to go ahead and be a little cliche.
Absolutely.
And my partner, my husband, my spouse.
Of course.
Just my nigga, Tristan. He,
that's not cliche.
He really does. He inspires me with his hard work and, you know, how he really, really has, grown himself over time, how he's really just like elevated himself. And that's not, you know, not in stocks and bonds and shit like this, LLCs and shit like that, but just in, priorities and showing that his family is a priority to him.
Aww.
I think that is just really dope because that's a choice, and that's a choice for all of us, mothers and fathers. You may say it's not, but it is. It's a choice. And so I am grateful for a partner who chooses every day the same way that I choose every day. I'm really, really grateful for that. He's the first person who comes to mind. I have a couple others, but I'll kick it back to you. Who comes to mind for you?
I guess the first people that come mm-hmm. to mind are my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I think my mom kind of goes without saying, but specifically my grandparents, because they are responsible for sort of setting the tone within my family unit and yeah. setting the standard for how we love each other. And I think, you know, everything sort of goes back to them and who they are. Their relationship with God has sort of shaped our experience as a family. And so I am absolutely grateful. And I see the way that their example has shaped my life and who I am and how mm-hmm. I show up in the world. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely am grateful for them and fully acknowledge them. And I say that because I feel like, you know, we grow up with it and we sort of take those things for granted, right? You just like, you know, they've always been there. This is who they are. And for a long time, it wasn't until I got to college that I really appreciated and understood that everyone didn't grow up in the situation that I grew up in, didn't mm-hmm. have access to the kind of structure and love and support that I was afforded. And now that I am older and recognize it and really see the value that it has had in my life, I just really, and I thank them all the time for the standard that they set for me. So yeah, they're the first people that comes to mind, and my mom and even my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do feel like perspective has taught me that
even in his absence, he fathered me in the best way that he knew how.
Yeah.
And
that's big.
You know?
That's big. That's a breakthrough. That's big. To be able to look at it from that perspective.
You know, beautiful. It wasn't without flaw, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't mm-hmm. without challenge. Mm-hmm. And I mean, do I wish that things could have been different? Absolutely. But I recognize that, you know, people do the best they can with what they have. And I think if he had better circumstances, better tools, better support,
mm-hmm.
better experiences, he would have handle things differently, but given the circumstances, he did what he knew to do at the time. And so I recognize that even in his absence, me and Brian didn't want four. We had what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it like that. And so I do thank my parents, my mother, for the ways that she showed up and held us down mm-hmm. and shaped and informed our lives, and my dad for the role that he played also in shaping mm-hmm. who I grew into be. So yeah, I'll stop there and give it back to you for who else you wish to say thank you to.
My grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely my grandma. She is just one of the most pleasant, beautifully soul people I've ever met in my life. And not just because she's my grandma, and knowing her background and her history and what she comes from and the kind of person she could have been despite her circumstances. She chose to be such a light in this world and continues to be a light in this world and continues to provide such a beautiful, positive perspective, and not a fluffy perspective, but a beautiful, positive perspective. When I have conversations with her they walk away from my conversations with my grandma emotional and happy and laughing and, you know, full of memory. And so, but that's it. My grandma's been, she's just been a light. Like, she's been a grandma, and she just continues to be so. And I'm so grateful for these memories with her, for this time, just for my conversations with her, for the openness that she has, and just like the giant heart that she has despite anything else that she's ever dealt with. I just think it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And so, yeah, my grandma.
I love that.
Thank you.
It's also, so saying thank you is also about thinking about ways, you know, gratitude is an awesome mood adjuster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It can also sort of shift and set your perspective when you're dealing with challenge and difficulty. And it can not only help your mood and improve your mood, but a thoughtful thank you can help to improve someone else's disposition, their mood.
Absolutely.
The things that they are dealing with, just an acknowledgement of their effort and their presence and their contribution, you know, is a good way to just sort of maintain the health of your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And in that vein, I wish to, and I'm, you know, I don't want to get caught up in like naming names, because what I'm going to say is I'm grateful for the specific set of friendships that I have been blessed to cultivate in my adulthood and not saying that I've made all of these friends in my adulthood, but I just feel like, you know, being an adult has shaped my friendships in ways that have shaped my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm blessed and fortunate to have a range of friendships and relationships that have all have made different contributions to me as a person. So when I say that, I say that Jade has been a support to me in ways that, you know, only Jade has. And Toya has been a support to me and only Toya has. Mm-hmm. And I say that because, you know, the relationship and connection that I have with Crystal is different than the one that I have with Fury or with Asante or with Fran or Dustin. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for, you know, a group of friends who see me, and who always welcome and encourage me to be my full self. I grew up thinking for a long time that in order for me to be liked, I had to change aspects of who I was. And spending all that time in my youth, shrinking or diminishing parts of myself in order to fit other people's expectations was an exhausting exercise that didn't really leave me feeling joyful. Didn't give me joy at all. And so to be able to say in my adult life that I have a host of friends, some that I've named and some that I haven't named, who have always opened themselves up to me and been their full selves with me and have encouraged me to be every aspect of my nerdy, churchy, hood rat self.
All of those things, yes.
All of those things existing at one time. And it being affirmed and encouraged to be all of those things at one time, never feeling like I couldn't say what I wanted or didn't want it or what I believed. And really feeling like people love all of me, not just the parts that align with who they are or what they think.
Or what they need.
Again, this was not a list. I know I named names, but that list, what the names that I named is not limited to that list because I love and connect with a whole lot of people. Absolutely. Thankfully, there's a group of friends that I have, thankfully, all over the country who love me and show up for me in ways. This weekend was the 5-year anniversary of my dissertation defense.
Yes, it was. I saw your stories.
And just like reflecting on that day and that time, y'all know that I was supposed to defend in June, but my brother passed and, you know, we had to deal with that. So when we were able to reschedule it, there were so many people who showed up for me to see me through that particular, you know, to kind of close that chapter. And just sort of reflecting on that day and during such a time of loss, having people to sort of rally around me and show up for me was something that I am grateful that I have the opportunity to really hold on to. It reminds me on some of my hardest days that I'm not alone.
No, let me tell you something. We sat in the back of that classroom not knowing what the hell you were talking about. So proud and so excited. And when they yelled, or excuse me, they don't yell, but they said and announced her as Dr. Takiya Robinson III. it was a beautiful time, and I love that we were able to have those memories as family. I love watching you get hooded. That's what I said that right?
Yes, you did.
Watching you get hooded, like, and you're not alone. You're not alone. You're never gonna go through these moments alone. Not the big ones or the small ones. I'm grateful for my village. I really, this birthday weekend I was telling you earlier was a huge reflection of that. It didn't need to be a big hoorah or anything like that. We're not even living in times where that can happen like that, or I ain't anyway. Mm-hmm. But it was just really a time where I was reflecting on how grateful I am for the village of people around me. Those who are present physically and those who are not, you know, friends near and far, from Kia to Fran to my friend Yolanda to Love, mm-hmm. aka also Dr. Snyder. Just my whole, I have a whole village of people that I'm really, really grateful for, whether we get to see each other all the time or not. I told you all I lost a really dear friend last week. So it's been a lot of that since then, just because I had to step back and be really grateful for the intention that he put into all of his relationships, and making sure that he kept in contact with everybody that he loved, self included, from the big things to the small things. So I'm proud of you, down to the new Cocaine Cowboys documentary is out. It's a 6-part series, nigga. So, you know, it's been a lot of reflecting on being grateful of the people that I have around me who really build me up and want to see me win sincerely, and do everything to add to that, whether it be small or great, sending a message, an encouraging message, or even I'm checking in on you. I mm-hmm. miss you. You know, this is what's going on with me. You thought about me to even tell me what's going on in your life. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I'm really, really grateful, and I echo your sentiments and that gratitude for my village and for my community, because that's exactly what it is. It's a village. Mm-hmm. And I want to cultivate that as much as I feel fed. So that's that.
For sure. I also want to thank you to Possibility Models. I think I'm grateful to have a list of people, some who I know personally and some mm-hmm. who I just follow and admire mm-hmm. from afar. People who inspire me and push me to continue to keep working and aspiring to greatness and being who I'm created to be. I'm grateful, and I've been intentional about curating that on my timeline, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. on social media, and even just generally in my life. I'm ingesting content, whether it be podcasts or blogs or books, mm-hmm. or television documentaries, any kind of programming, really, art exhibits, mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like I've been intentional about curating and surrounding myself with, curating spaces and surrounding myself with things that push me forward. 'Cause yes. like we talked about earlier, you know, the news and just kind of like what is like the common chatter out there in the world. If you're not careful, it will consume you and shape mm-hmm. your views and your attitudes and how you think about yourself and your situation. And so yes. I'm grateful for my little set of possibility models, people who I aspire to not be, but mm-hmm. Aspire to embody their drive or mm-hmm. have the kind of impact or influence other people, impact other people the way that they influence me. So those that my little motivator, like, you know, I have a series of motivators, and that includes people like Oprah and Michelle Obama. It also includes folks like Rabia and Nikki
from Ruby Scoops.
Yes, and Nikki from Zen in a Jar, folks like Gia Peppers from yep. Essence, and folks like Brittany Cooper, mm-hmm. like Lori Patton Davis, you know.
Shout out to y'all.
Yeah, Joy Gaston Gales, Sharon Fries Britt, Bridget Turner yes. Kelly, all of these awesome thinkers and contributors, Kimberly Griffin Haynes, mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. of these Leslie Gonzalez, people who whose work that I read and cite, people who, you know, empower me and encourage me, and, you know, peers, colleagues, friends, Leonard Taylor, Dr. Taylor, Felicia mm-hmm. Commodore, Steve mm-hmm. Mobley, Felicia. You know, all of Jennifer Johnson, all of my, you know, my work family, the people who mm-hmm. we train, Charles H.F. Davis, the people mm-hmm. we train.
I love and his beautiful baby. Oh, my God, what a beautiful joy. Family in general.
I mean, a joy. That baby is such a joy.
And a cinematographer, if I've ever seen one.
But I mean, all of these, you know, I mean, folks who are just like awesome content creators,
yeah,
people who are on the pulse of what's happening now and you know, being themselves, Sarah Jakes Roberts, you know, folks who we shared with our audience, you know, Issa, you know, all these people always. Who inspire.
Queen of movement, like the G and lasagna.
Exactly.
and you know what? Our ground workers, like, I want to thank Ty, mm-hmm. who sits up here for the past almost 5 years. We're going to hit 5 years in March, y'all. That's crazy.
Dumb.
And Ty has been sitting up here. Ain't that dumb? Been sitting up here every night with us, editing this show making sure it gets out and sending us our ads and so forth and so on. Just like, shout out to Ty, Chris Rogers,
mm-hmm.
You know, those who really just contribute on a week-to-week basis for what we're doing, and making sure that these machines are running. I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for them as well. Grateful for everybody, the movers and the shakers in all areas, because you can't do nothing without the movers and the shakers who are inspiring you, and the movers and the shakers who are literally grinding behind you to make sure that you are good. So, I'm grateful. I'm in a space and a spirit of gratitude, and I'm appreciative of Usus, you know, for sitting up here with me week after week recording this show. And I know we be getting mushy, and y'all be like, y'all just be doing this shit. No, yeah. Like we be doing this shit.
Yeah.
And you know, I love my sister. I enjoy doing this with you, and you know, through everything, it's a blessing to be on this journey. So I'm very grateful for that. And we're grateful for you all, for all, sure. Yeah. Every listener from 17 years old to why are you listening to this to 61 years young. You know, we're grateful for each and every one of you who supports this show, because there would be no show.
So, we're grateful. The community that you know, not the way that you support us and the way that you support each other is awesome. And, you know, you said it best this weekend, sis, when I reached out to you for your birthday. I believe that our coming together was not an accident.
No.
And this work that we're doing is also, I believe, divinely ordained and ordered, and you're my partner in this work for a reason. And so we learn from each other, and we stretch each other, and we're growing together. And I'm grateful to share this platform and this space with you. I just feel like even this kitchen table talk has sort of given me new perspective and lifted some of the heaviness that I have been operating under today. So I encourage y'all to thank somebody else.
Yeah.
If you are feeling challenged or stretched in any way, mm-hmm. or burdened or heavy for any reason, I challenge you to thank somebody else. For
anybody, and anybody, for the like
to really
Antonio.
Thank somebody, really mean it, like you know, even if it's somebody held a door for you, somebody that. You know, like, but also like someone who's done something, you know, that we would take for granted. But
it
thanking
may be a friend
someone.
Who sits up on FaceTime with you, yeah, and you don't realize how much of their time you actually consume. Thank them. And mm-hmm. and really think about what that friendship means to you, and why you consume so much of this person's time, and they, you know, they consume so much of yours. Think about that. Think about the people in your life and just how grateful you are to have them. You will it's just a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful feeling. I love gratitude. I really do.
And we have had discussions about gratitude before, but felt like, especially given the reminder that this week is National Thank You Day, we thought it would be cool to sort of just spend some time thinking about who we are grateful for.
Yes.
In our lives. So I encourage you to take a little time in your reflection to think about that. And I think that this right here is my Black Woman Self-Care for the week as well.
I'm not mad at that. You know what? I will. My Black Woman Self-Care was that little adult Lunchable that I had on that slight break that we had. So that will be that.
All right. Let's
but we do have an honesty box.
Yeah, let's get it. We're all looking for the same things in life, beloveds. Honey, history books that actually report the truth, a new Rihanna album because she's playing in our faces as much as we love her, and skincare products that offer clinically proven hydration and leave your skin with a healthy, non-greasy, youthful, glowing finish. I certainly can't help you with the first two, but Neutrogena, a dermatologist recommended brand, has the skincare goals covered with their Hydro Boost facial care line. Honey, the line's Hydro Boost gel cream and the Night Press serum are both clinically proven to strengthen the skin's moisture barrier and lock in hydration for 48 hours. You'll get intense hydration thanks to both products' hyaluronic acid, which has an ability to bind to water and literally hold it within the skin surface. Neutrogena's Hydro Boost Gel Cream, baby, is gel and a cream in one, is made with glycerin that penetrates the skin 9 surface layers deep for longer lasting hydration. And Neutrogena's Night Press Serum will revitalize your skin overnight, letting you wake up to skin that's 3 times more hydrated. Made with purified hyaluronic acid and supercharged antioxidants, it's a pillow-proof formula that won't ruin your good sheets and blanket, honey, because it melts into your skin instantly. Both the gel cream and the Night Press Serum are oil-free, dye-free, and non-comedogenic. So you know around here on Getting Grown, we don't play with ash, honey. We keep ourselves moisturized on the inside and the outside because our blacks will absolutely crack if it's dry. What I love about the Neutrogena Gel Cream and the Night Press Serum is that both of them leave my skin so juicy and plump and moist, honey. I'm telling you, I put it on at night, wake up in the morning, it's as if I just put it on. And I mean, my skin is so good. Like, I could literally walk out the door, but I mean, you gotta wash your face to get in the morning. But listen, you know what I'm saying. It's good stuff. You won't be sorry. The Neutrogena Hydro Boost line, it can be purchased at every major retailer, and you can start your hydration journey today at Neutrogena.com/Hydro Boost. That's Neutrogena.com/Hydro Boost.
Y'all already know what time it is because you've been listening to this show. We've been on the air for 4.5 years at this point. And I want to say I've been talking about this game for the past 3.5. If you've listened to the show for a minute, you know that we are obsessed with Best Fiends, especially myself. In my humble but very correct opinion, it is literally the best match 3-style game by far. And the rest are basically the same game with different color schemes. I mean, am I lying? Y'all know what games I'm talking about where you fit blocks into other blocks and make other blocks. But anyway, stop crushing the same old candy and try a puzzle game with something fresh to offer. And with Best Fiends, you play through an actual storyline complete with good guys, which are the fiends, and then not so good guys, which are the slugs. And on top of that, you still get the colors that you're missing from the other games because it's so fun to look at. Your fiends start out as like little wee baby versions of their little future selves, very Benjamin Button-ish. And then the more you play, the more fiends join your team and the more powerful that they become, helping you essentially solve increasingly challenging puzzles and defeat the slugs. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. And new content is added all the time. There's literally new levels added all the time. Best Fiends has thousands of levels with more added every single day. So every time you log on, you are not going to run out of anything. We've got listeners who write in and let us know that they are now all the way into Best Fiends. They can't get enough of it. You all know I'm all the way into Best Fiends. I can't get enough of it. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Honestly, truly.
All right, let's get into this honesty box. and she requests a pseudonym. She, her, sis.
All right, let's call her Hillary Banks.
Hillary Banks. Mm-hmm. Trevor, she says, hey, cousins. First and foremost, love the podcast and you ladies. Thank you for being so open with your lives and experiences. It's really helped in my own personal life. I'm writing to you because I need a second opinion. Okay. My friend and I have been friends since we were 18. We're both currently in our mid-30s. She's been one of my best friends ever since. I know everything about her, her family, and vice versa. About 10 years ago, we stopped talking for a couple of years when I noticed our friendship was very one-sided. I was always the one calling her, texting her first, and reaching out first. One day, she hit me with a, let me call you back, and she just never did. I decided not to reach out since I was always the one doing it first. And that's when we initially stopped talking for a couple of years until she had a death in the family, so I reached out with my condolences. We picked up where we left off, but I noticed the same old shit started happening again. We didn't talk unless I reached out first. I decided to just not call her, and we went 2 weeks without speaking. When she finally called, I told her how I felt and that I didn't appreciate her not taking interest in our friendship. Mm-hmm. She agreed that she was being a crappy friend and that even her mother had said that I always called her to see how she was, but that she didn't do the same. She promised she wouldn't let it happen again, so we squashed it. But guess what? I saw history repeating itself, so I stopped reaching out, and I haven't heard from her since. Last time I texted her was July 2020, and I literally have not heard from her since. Only once on my birthday, 3 months later in October, she pretended like nothing was wrong, and that pissed me off, so I ignored her. I understand people get busy, and when I say I know that this girl, I know her. She was my best friend. She ain't that busy. Am I being petty or am I correct to feel hurt that she doesn't seem to care about our friendship? Some people think I should reach out to her, but I feel like I set my boundaries by letting her know how I felt and she continued the behavior, so why try again? Guess I'm just looking for someone to say it's okay to feel the way that I feel. Signed, Hillary Banks.
So I'm a little torn, right?
Oh.
So I feel like, you know, it's okay for you to feel how you feel. I feel like you have articulated your needs. And I feel like you have kind of stated how her behavior, specifically her lack of reaching out to you, her mm-hmm. lack of her lack of communication or initiating the communication between you all, how that bothers you. And your desire for her to sort of check in on you. I think that that's all fair. You expressed that. And she promised that she would do better and didn't do better. So I think you're well within your rights to be annoyed. So if that's what you want to do, I think that's totally fine. The reason why I said I'm torn is because...
Nothing's right, I'm torn.
Is it that the nature of your relationship is shifting from, there are seasons and there are times. Like, there were times when Jade and I talked on the phone every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there were times when we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I guess my hesitance is around you, I don't want to say assuming, but like, are you sure that the reason that she's not reaching out to you is because she doesn't care or because she is no longer interested in maintaining a friendship? Could it be that her life has changed or she's in a season where she's not communicative with any of her friends or she's just kind of focused on other things right now? Mm-hmm. I guess my hesitancy is around, and I'm guilty of this, right? Not internalizing somebody else's behavior or lack of behavior as, you know, this is how they feel about me or this is how they feel about our friendship. If you want to know, if, you know, you can express to her, like, when I don't hear from you, it makes me feel like you don't care about me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's that I feel like is different from saying, you know, I want to hear from you more. And some people may or may not, I mean, people may or may not agree with me, but mm-hmm. I just know that as we grow in our adult lives, sometimes our relationships go through these ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And I think if you are annoyed and hurt, you have every right to be, but I just wouldn't assume that she knows that and is intentionally trying to hurt you. And I have to be cautious against this myself and just remember that if I don't hear from Jade or if I don't hear from Keisha, if I don't hear from this, it's not because they are consciously like, I'm not thinking about Kia, blah, 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 blah. It could just be that there are other things in their life that are going on right now that would preempt us from having the kind of consistency and communication that we once had.
Mm-hmm.
People get sick, people have kids, people change jobs, people could get depressed or just be going through different things, and it manifests itself differently. And I'm saying this as someone who's been guilty of sort of like, you know, dropping off and reaching out to folks when I'm dealing with things. So I don't know if that was helpful, but that was just kind of like what came to mind for me. If you just want to cut her off, I think that's fair. But if you do feel like there is space for another conversation, you know, I don't think there's any shame in that either.
I think that's actually a really good perspective that you offered, because I wasn't even thinking about it that way. But that could very well be what it is. But like Kia said, you're not going to know that unless you say something. Now, I'm not sure if you have. Oh, you said you have.
She said she did.
Fell out. Yeah, she
said they fell out. She
bit.
Talked about it. And then the girl came back and apologized.
Right. But the behavior continued to remain the same. So you have stated how you felt, and her behavior has not changed. That's another thing, too. A lot of times people will show you who they are as a person. If once upon a time you all were super close and now you're not, shifts happen, changes happen within relationships. Maybe it's not a change that you necessarily want, but I'm going to tell you, just like I tell Noah, don't go running behind nobody who ain't running behind you. You know, I'm like, listen, if so-and-so doesn't want to do this at school and they don't want to play with you, then don't go. Okay, nigga. If don't go running behind them, because they're off living their lives. So at a certain point in time, you got to go off and live your life as well. And that doesn't mean that you easily dispose of relationships, because like Kia said in her perspective, which is absolutely right, I am so sick of this nigga and this Honda Fit with this lawnmower engine. Jesus Christ. Like Kia said, people also do get busy. We all do. As adults, you really figure that out. Like, we fall into the flow of our lives, and sometimes you look up and it's been 6 months since you talked to somebody that you were super close with, and then you all have a conversation and it's like things have never left off.
Right.
You know, so you have those, but if you're feeling something else in your spirit, if you're feeling like she's not putting forth effort in the friendship, if she's giving you dry energy, if you are the only one who's making an effort, then it might be time for you to allow that shift to just fully happen and start focusing on a village and a community of people who invest just as much as in you as you do into them. You want to have people around you who make just as many deposits into your life as they make withdrawals, and vice versa. And that's not to say that it's transactional in a way where it's like, well, I'm paying attention, I'm keeping a list of everything you're doing. But are they filling you as much as they're making you feel empty? Are they filling you as much as you feel like you're filling them? You see what I'm saying? If you have a friend who calls you, hey, I need such and such, but they also call you other times to be like, how you doing? I was thinking about you. I'm just seeing what you was up to. That's somebody who cares about you and who trusts you and who loves you and loves to have you a part of their village. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's somebody that you know that you can reciprocate that exact same energy with. But if you're not getting that, then it might be time to focus on other things, other people, and yourself. So I confirm you. I affirm you in what you felt about your boundaries.
It's totally fair. Like, if you're just not in a place where you are ready to or you want to go in back and forth, or, well, I mean, I think, you know, however you feel, there's no wrong way, you know? Mm-mm. Like,
no.
But I mean, I guess we're just offering other ways to think about it. You can, you know, if you, you can take or leave anything that I offer, but we're just think, no, just offering or just giving you some ways to think about some things, because honestly, girl, I've been on both sides of this. And then, you know, so I get it. I get it. So
we hope that's helpful, Hillary Banks.
Yeah, y'all. This is really hard.
Listen,
friendships can be tough when we're getting grown. Hello.
That's it. We've had many talks about friendships.
Yes.
And we probably will have many more, because shifts and transitions are just what happens. They are. And then what did you say? Adaptability is the currency of adulting.
Yeah.
That applies to relationships as well. That applies to friendships. That applies to all of that. So sometimes you just gotta roll and flow with the wind and figure out what the next move is, because that just ain't it no more.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just be like that. Continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we are going to be getting a new email address very soon. A whole new home in Zhuzh. So you all just stay tuned for just a bevy of announcements that are coming your way in just a few weeks. But in the meantime, we've already done our Black woman self-care, so we're just going to float on over to these petty peeves.
All right.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
It's time for these good petty peeves. And I just want to say, you know, it's back to school season. Like Kia said, today was the official first day back. And I know all of us are, you know, just really on edge trying to figure out how this school year is going to go with our health and our children's health and just everything with the world. But, you know, we roll in the best that we can. Even despite all of that, I am so happy to have these niggas out of the house. My God, my God. And part of that happiness, aside from me just getting certain things done that I only was able to get done in the peace of my own spirit and energy, I also get to start my walks again, you know, that I lose over the summer when she's out and, you know, you just get into the flow of other things. And so today was my very first walk. And, you know, so I went with them to school to drop her for the first day. And I was like, all right, I had my workout stuff on and I was ready to take my hour and a half walk back. And I got about halfway through it and my ankle started killing me. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? So I thought maybe my anklet was caught in my sneaker and it's like causing friction. So I adjusted it. Wasn't that. Figured maybe it was my sock. Tried to adjust that. It wasn't that. And it was my sneaker rubbing the back of my heel.
Oh, that is the worst feeling.
All the times that I've worn these sneakers, they've been great. I bought them. They were supposed to be hiking sneakers. So they're Nike Pegasus, whatever. I don't know what all the other shit is called. But I bought them. They were great. They were comfortable when we went hiking. They were comfortable when we went trekking through the woods. And for whatever reason, these niggas decided today, on like the fourth time that I've ever worn them, or I don't know, maybe the sixth, that they wanted to start bothering the back of my heel. And so I had to literally stop halfway through my walk before it like rubbed raw and get a cab back to the house, because it just was so uncomfortable. I stopped at the store. I bought a box of Band-Aids. I put about four of them bitches on the back of my heel. Still didn't do anything. Adjusted my socks. It was just a nightmare. So it ruined my walk for the day. So I did not get to do my very first walk of this back to school season. But that's okay. So now I'm going to have to buy me another pair of sneakers to go do my walks in. Thanks a lot, Nike. I love you still. What's your petty peeve?
My petty peeve, Well, first I want to say that I have been there, and I feel like when your feet hurt like that, it is the most debilitating.
Oh my God.
It is literally like, because like you literally cannot walk. Like I don't understand how people, I'm fascinated with how people like cheat their feet, you know, like how people like can wear like shoes that are not fit for them comfortable because I cannot concentrate if my feet are hurting.
No.
And I think that it gets worse the older that I am.
Shout out to models.
Shout out, because like what? Like I can't, none of my senses work. I can't hear you. Mm-hmm. I can't see you. Like what? Mm-mm. What do you want? My brain doesn't function.
Truth be told, most of the shoes you wear, I stand back in awe and be like, how the fuck is she just wearing this today on a Tuesday?
That's not true, because I don't even wear heels like that no more.
I mean, but you did for a period of like a long period. And the only reason you're not wearing heels right now is because it's a global pandemic and you rarely leave your home. But
I had really sort of stopped. I stopped wearing heels to work long before COVID.
Did you? What were you wearing on your feet?
You know, I turned into like an Oxfords kind of girl. I mean, if I have a conference or an event, a meeting or something, and I have to like dress up, then I would still wear my shoes. But I don't really have it in me for a full 9-to-5, and a pump is something that is like,
I know that's right.
It's unfathomable at this point. Like what?
You know, I'm very Alfred Woodard about the feet. Okay. I splurged and bought myself two pairs of heels for my birthday that are some of the most something heels that I've ever bought for myself.
Something?
I don't, you know, they were a little pricey and they were, you know, very grown. And I said, you know, I deserve to have these because I work hard and I never splurge anything on myself. And so I bought them and I was very pleased with those purchases. But most of the time, your girl is straight Alfrey on the feet. No heels allowed. I'm wearing flats to the award show ceremony.
Wonderful. I'm with it. Okay. Let me see. My petty peeve is I've been dealing with a challenge like professionally around folks sort of like, I feel like they're like buzzwords in the workplace that people use because it's like appropriate and accepted for, like, you know, it's expected for us to use words like collaboration. But I mean, I've learned that folks really don't know what that means, and they're not like, they're not collaborative. Like, or they're like, you know, I hate like the performative aspects of that can kind of go into work sometimes, right? So like there are people who have already made a decision or, you know, they know what they want to do, but they'll bring it to the group and ask for folks' input.
I hate that
they're not like, you know, y'all really don't.
Or
they'll be like,
that.
What do you think about this? Or they'll ask for suggestions in a way that's like not productive.
I think, like, you know what I think, asshole.
Right. So I have been, I've been particularly annoyed around those kinds of conversations, professionally. And that's not just like at my job, but just even working with projects and working in groups. It's like, you know, guys, if you are the leader of something, you have the authority to sort of like make a decision. You don't have to act like every decision is made collectively, because if you commit to collective decision making and considering the input of other people, then you have to actually do that.
Absolutely.
So don't like just be performative about that kind of stuff, because that gets on my nerves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That gets on my nerves and I hate it. It's like this perfunctory exercise of asking everybody how they feel when you don't really care. I don't really believe that you care how I feel about this. I don't.
No.
So don't.
You knew you wanted Chinese for lunch. Don't ask the office what they want. Just place the fucking order.
You know, just come on. I'm weary. I'm growing weary of the performative ways that people try to like perform collegiality when they could just actually be collegial.
Why do you think they're doing that? You think they're just to pretend to save face? Are they shallow enough to believe that somebody thinks that this is a sincere?
I do. Move? I do think for many people, they believe that, you know, this is that their words or actions are genuine.
Okay.
Because I think we're all conditioned to sort of like subscribe to these things, and folks who have sort of asked questions kind of get, there's a consequence or cost for sort of asking questions or being quote unquote disruptive or interrupting sort of like how we've all been socialized to kind of go along with stuff. And so I think there's a strong culture of performance in a lot of professional spaces. And it's just sort of like, I'm trying to tell myself that this is good practice for me because it's teaching me what kind of leader and manager I want to be and what kind of professional spaces and collaborative spaces I really want to curate. Like if I say that I want to lead a team, I want to be intentional about leading it in these ways because I know the ways that get on my nerves.
Yes. Okay. It's so I am not a doctor. I don't lead those teams. But it's funny you say that. Years ago, Tristan worked at this bar and this lady had essentially gone and bartended for like 6 months at a spot just to like see how it worked or whatever, right? And then she just thought like, bong, I'm gonna open this bar. And I've been working in the service industry a long time. My husband was working in the service industry for a long time. You've got a lot of people in the service industry who know the ins and outs of how the service industry runs. And what ends up happening is you get these people with investors or money who don't know shit about the service industry. They think they know a little bit about food, but they don't really know the ins and outs. And then they open up a spot and they don't listen to the people who have actually been working in this industry for years and can tell you, you know, tricks of the trade and little things here and there. No, we may not be able to tell you how to get an investor to open the whole goddamn business, but we can tell you how the fuck not to get shut down by the health department and all of the ins and outs of that, or how you build more clientele, how you become cool with your customers in this way, in which you're able to get more revenue in this way. Like we can tell you how to do the day-to-day that makes the business function. And so we found that a lot of the places that we worked, it was people who didn't have those. They didn't have that, and they wouldn't want to listen to you. And then their business ends up tanking and crashing and burning. And so, yes, it just reminded, when you said that, that reminded me of me when we were talking about opening up our own spot. It was like, I would love to be a person who's actually been in this industry, loves what I'm doing, and can really have a place that functions because I've worked behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, on the side of the scenes, and everything else in between. So yes, I feel affirmed by you saying that.
For sure. Because I think, you know, we have all kind of been socialized to perform in socially accepted ways.
Yeah.
And so there is now a cost for folks being raggedy. So they have to act like they're not raggedy when fundamentally they are raggedy. Instead of sort of promoting and encouraging folks to perform in certain ways, why don't we just have why don't we just all aspire to be better? Let's just be better. Let's be better human beings. Let's mean what we say. And that sometimes, well, all the times means that, you know, you can hear my criticism from a place of like, okay, this is useful information that will help me be a better person versus like, this is an attack on who I am.
Right.
That I have to be defensive against. So I'm sick. I'm tired of all of the fake and phony. I'm really getting tired of like all of the fake, like, how's everybody doing? Like,
Y'all don't really care how I'm doing. Let's get to it. Like, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
You better than me, because I'd be the one in the meetings who'd be like, you don't care. So it doesn't even matter. And not because I don't care. Not because I care that you don't care, but because I literally don't care for the fluff of this conversation right now.
Yeah. I just don't need any fluff.
I told you about when I got my old boss fired. And then I finally ran into that nigga on the street. I knew I was going to run into that nigga on the street. So he sat there and thought he was going to intimidate me. He sat there and just stood and smiled as I approached. And I shimmied like the motherfucking Light King on Game of Thrones towards that nigga. You're not going to make me feel uncomfortable. I stand in what the fuck just happened. And we not going to have pleasantries and pretend like I didn't just get your trifling ass fired. I mean, that's just that on that. And that's another episode of Getting Grown.
Indeed.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the conversation and being a part of our community. Thank you for supporting Jade and I. Always. And we look forward to doing it again next week, man. Jade, take us out.
Oh, yes. Make sure you drink your water, which is what I'm about to do before I choke on this blunt. so that I can moisturize my throat as well as my insides. Ooh, gotta lead by example. Also, don't forget to mind your business. I think I did that all out of order. Drink your water, mind your business. Oh, and moisturize your skin. All the crevices, all in between the toes. That includes your heart and your mind.
For sure.
Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
Or if you're pretending to be something that you are not. Period. Just be the bitch that you are and stop pretending to be otherwise. Bye.
Goodbye. Anyone can be ready for back to school. But with Staples Connect, you can be more than ready. Like, I got everything from my classroom and Save the Time ready. They've got more backpacks, more pens, more supplies than you ever thought was possible, honey. So lace up your Air Max, gas up your Honda Odyssey, and smear your war finger paint on your face, honey, under your eyes. Make sure you use grease-free. You don't want to clog up your pores, buddy. But get to the Staples, honey, because they have everything you need and more for the new school year. Let's do this. Just visit your nearest Staples store, or you can go to staplesconnect.com for inspiration.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.